Christ has risen, everybody. I'm Botini. And
indeed,
Matthew,
he has risen.
Truly is Matthew. And thank indeed you guys he has for your patience today. It's been a little bit crazy around here. Traffic's been real bad. You guys deal with the traffic?
Yes.
It's awful here. So what has happened? It's like the perfect storm. Is it still backed up in front of church?
Yes,
it is.
How am I going to get home tonight? It's just nuts. So on Julington Creek Road, I don't know if y'all know what it is, there's a bridge out.
Really?
And then on US 1 and Greenland Road, it's closed. So everybody's having to go around and come through Loretta Road onto to either go to Greenland Road or to Loretta. So having to go around on 95 to get around that, or come down around here and go up and around. And then so I tried to go around. I thought I was smart going on San Jose. There's a pipe broken in the highway in San Jose. So the road's closed there, too, or it's down to one lane. So it took me 50 minutes to take what takes 8 minutes. And then and then coming here, which takes normally 7 minutes, took me like 30 minutes today.
Wow.
25 minutes. Pull up some chairs. Don't put up the chairs. Just pull up chairs and sit down and join us. We're going to get ready to start. So I am very, anybody else? Come on in, guys. Whoever would like to join us, come on in. We're going to get started. The reason why we don't have chairs is because it's election place. So last night was elections in Garrisonville. So we'll set up the chairs a little bit right after. And we have all these strong men who put up the tables and chairs. So I want to welcome with us, and we'll introduce ourselves. You can see the names online who's there. We're welcome into our midst, Father Juvenal Repass, or really, more accurately, Archie Valentine. He's Father. I wrote notes here, so I'm going to read from it. If that's okay with you. So, Father, he's an OCMC missionary. So, what's OCMC? 30s folks are catechumens. So, I have to explain that. So, what's OCMC? Orthodox Christian Mission Center. So, we're very fortunate to be where we are in Jackson. Oh, this is for you. We're very fortunate to be where we're located, St. Augustine Road. In St. Augustine, we have a mission center where really international missions from the United States is launched into the world for Orthodox people. And the way we do missions is much different than, it's the basic, but we're very organized. We do things as Paul says, do everything decently in order. So we do missions work. We just don't drive into Rush and say we're doing missions work. We don't just drive into I don't know where and say we're doing missions. We work with local bishops. We work with local people. So the mission center is right down here. So Father, it happens to be between ministries. He was just in Guatemala. Mm-hmm. And then now you're going to Colombia or
Brazil
to do missions work. So he's between right now. So he happens to be here in the Jacksonville area. And last night I got a text, and I'm not very good at text. So then I got a phone call, and I didn't pick up the phone because I was working on my sermon. And finally, I think it was the secretary said, hey, you need to talk to Yana. They're trying to get a hold of you because Father is going to come up and worship, and he would like to speak at our class. And I said, great idea. So so he's here to talk a little bit about missions. I know him more than he knows me because he works for OCMC and I know about the missionaries. But he's a graduate from Yale, degree in biochemistry. Wow. That just put him in another league. Well, but even better, he graduates St. Vladimir Seminary. Okay. And all the best priests graduate St.
Vladimir. I have to go.
Okay. So graduated a few years before I did. He went to St. Tikhon's as a monastic. He took a monastic tonsure at St. Tikhon's. And according to his bio, he's there for 22 years as a monastic. And there he did his obediences. Right, serving in the library, and you taught Greek. So that shows you're very good. I know you know Spanish fluently, so you know Greek and you know English, so you're obviously, and you have a degree in biochemistry. So God bless you. He was ordained a priest in 92. So that was 1 year before me, I think. I was ordained in 93, or maybe, no, 90, 93, I think. He became Archimandrite in 2007, which is a very, that's set saved for the best and the brightest of the monastics.
Well, not always.
Sometimes make a mistake. I don't think they made a mistake here, Father. They taught at my good friend's seminary, Father John Botlaw. Was he the dean when you were there? So Father John Dunlop was a classmate of mine. He's the dean of St. Herman's, and Father Juvenal taught at St. Herman's. What did you teach there?
I taught Greek. I taught ethics.
Wow.
That's how they call it. Thanks to the Book of Moves, basically.
Okay, yeah. How do you,
a couple of other things.
Liturgic. Probably you just speak a little louder. Put the mic here. No, that's cool. And then, okay, very good. And then this coming Sunday, you're going to be serving in my friend's church, Father Maximus, down in, I saw that, very good, in Port St. Yeah. Lucie. And I want you to ask him why they named church St. James if he's in the city of St. Lucie. Right? We have a St. Lucia in the church. Why not? You know? Right. So I think that was a mistake they made many years ago.
What was it?
It's St. James, the Apostle, Orthodox Church. You're teaching it.
I think they're the fisherman.
But they're in St. Lucie.
Isn't she associated with the sea in some of the
I don't know. I know our church in San Antonio, St. Anthony, so kind of match it up. But we couldn't be St. Jacksonville, so there's no saints that we know to Jackson. Okay. So I thought I would introduce you this way. I think one of the best things to start with first, Father, I would like to, is talk about, and maybe we can do more of a dialogue a little bit, you and I, but for you, I think to share a little bit about the field, but basically the first thing, I don't think us folks in the States don't really understand missio, don't understand missions, what it means to be a missionary. And, you know, we have different vocations, different callings in life. You know, as I've said before, and not everyone's heard this story. You know, I grew up, I wanted to be a contractor. And, you know, as a young man, I loved construction stuff. I went, got my degree. I did construction. I got my degree in construction, everything else. And I was a contractor, licensed contractors hanging on the wall. But I felt incomplete, unfulfilled. In that time, I learned how to pray. I learned how to pray. I mean, not just say prayers, but pray, you know, to really come before God and pray and actually be quiet and listen. And really over time, I discerned my vocation wasn't a contractor, but to at least go to seminary. I didn't feel worthy as I still don't feel worthy. I'm not worthy as a priest, but I felt, you know, in fact, it was a priest shortage, and I think there's been a priest shortage since the 90s everywhere. I remember them in the OCA, in the newspaper, got saying there's a real priest shortage, we need help. And I turned around and said to my wife, well, they need somebody. I'm better than nothing, you know? And so let's go see what God's will is. And then our spiritual father was wise. He said, okay. He says, I think you, after talking to us for like a year, I said, okay, I think, you know, it might be a good thing for you guys to go to seminary. So let's wait 1 year. He said, and don't talk about it amongst yourselves. Just pray. A year came by later, and I said, Leanne, what do you think? And she said, if you believe it's God's will, we'll do it. Yeah, she says, she wasn't 100% sure, but she was willing to trust me. And you always listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying through other people. And other people were saying, you know, we think you guys should go. And so we went to seminary. That was my calling, my vocation. And I would say, so missions work is being sent. It's the word missio, or to be sent. Okay, you're sent with a purpose. My mission is to be a priest, if you could say, and plant a church. I came to Jacksonville, and my ministry here was to plant St. John the Martyr. It's Archbishop Dimitri, I felt called to plant a church. I wanted to plant a church. It burned in my bones, and because I knew Americans needed the fullness of the Orthodox faith. Because I had visited Protestant churches. I had been in other Orthodox churches that were not culturally relevant, meaning they were in a foreign language and everything else. And I knew that there was a great need. And I knew there was a great need in Jacksonville. And then when the bishop, I was offered New Jersey, Houston, Texas, or Jacksonville. Pretty easy math there. So of course, getting to Jacksonville, we start with 13 people. That was my vocation. Now I'm gonna ask Father to please speak to us a little bit about vocation, his calling, and his ministry and the work that he's done. Is that okay?
Yeah.
As an introduction. And so we go to 7:40, so that's about 23 more minutes.
Okay.
And then we'll take questions on both, and we have something online. But go ahead, Father, introduce yourself. And hopefully I introduced you okay. I didn't mess up too bad.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you. Thank you. That saves me a lot of things. I don't have to affect the same things. So, like Father said, I was living in a monastery for a long time, and then the bishop gave me the chance to go to serve Christ in Alaska. So I said, sure, if that's the will of Christ, I'll be happy to do the best I can. So I went up to Alaska. I taught in the seminary up there for a while, for 6 years. But then I began to think, you know, the church is here. It's well established here. We have seminaries. We have about 100 parishes. We have a bishop. We have over 25 priests. So the church is here in Alaska, you know. Why not go? Because mainly, I think the main idea, if you had to pick one verse out of the scripture that has to do with missions directly, of course, many things about love and so forth that have to do with mission. But if you pick one verse that's directly concerned, it's John, it's the Great Commission, where the Lord said, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Go into all nations and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So we have received this great joy, this great gift, this great light of the Orthodox faith. So it's natural that we just want to share it with everybody else, you know, right? We want to share it with so many others who don't have it. So I was up there in Alaska and I could see the church is well established here. Why not go to one of those many parts of the world where there's no Orthodoxy and share it? So I was interested in Brazil in particular because it's a large, thriving, diverse country. And in those respects, it was like America. It's like our own country of America. So naturally, maybe that's why I was drawn to Brazil. And very little Orthodox presence. So I went there for a month and visited 10 years ago. But the doors didn't open to go there at that time. I was not able to go there at that time. Instead, everything pointed to Guatemala. There was also a need in Guatemala. And so it became clear we have our plans, but God has his plans and his are always better. So it was clear that that was a place he wanted me to go at that time. So I went to Guatemala and I was there. I've been there for 6 years, but now things have changed in Brazil and the doors are open. I can go to Brazil now. So naturally prayed about it and applied to make that change. Everything gave the green light, Bishop Metropolitan, because I'm still under Metropolitan. I'm on loan to Guatemala. And OCMC was okay with it. Bishop down in Brazil was okay with it. So everything lined up. So by the grace of God, if I live to see that day, it's about 6 weeks, which I
hope you make 6 weeks. I hope you make 600 weeks.
Hope so.
Can you tell us a little bit about Guatemala and about the great work that's the great, really, I don't want to call it an awakening, but just the explosion of the Orthodox Church down there. Literal explosion. Listen to the story.
Well, maybe 20, 25 years ago, there were one or two nuns who became Orthodox. And that was the beginning of Orthodoxy in Guatemala, as far as I know. But the explosion of it came later. There was a man named Father Andres Giron. He was a Roman Catholic priest. And he was especially trying to help the indigenous peoples, the Indians of Guatemala, because they have very little. They were very poor. They didn't have land to grow their food. They had almost nothing. And he was trying to help them out. He started a seminary. And he had about 75 students in the seminary. And the Catholic Church did not really help out with these indigenous people. They tried to force Father Andres to shut down his seminary. And they didn't like that he was trying to help advocate for them. There was also a civil war in Guatemala that lasted 36 years. Father Andres said, we have to have peace. And he started a peace march. And they ended up marching about 400 kilometers and they ended up with 50,000 marchers. And this march ended at a church at an icon of the Theotokos. And that did contribute to the ending of the civil war some years later. But in the meantime, Father Andres learned some things about the Orthodox Church and he connected up with a group that was Orthodox in name, but they weren't really what we say canonical. They weren't They weren't really part of the official historical Orthodox Church. But he did come closer through that and learn more about it. Later, he connected with the canonical Orthodox Church about, I think, about 13 years ago. And he brought tens of thousands of people that were following him into the Orthodox Church. And they are in about 120 communities that are mostly in, most of them are in northwestern Guatemala. Quite a few are over the border in Mexico, because during the Civil War, many people fled across the border to safety in Mexico. And now they started communities there. And so many of these people have become Orthodox. They followed Father Andres. They loved Father Andres. He loved them. He was an amazing man. He also started a college, and he also was for a while in the Senate of the state of the country of Guatemala. And so that's his legacy. Probably he'll be glorified as a saint sooner or later when the time comes. But so that was the explosion. He brought these tens of thousands.
I remember when that was happening. I remember Metropolitan Jonah talking about it at the time, and him offering to help. I think Father David Rucker, who is our priest in Palm Coast, his Spanish is fluent. He and Father John Chacos went on behalf of OCMC, and one third, I can't remember who the third person was. And they went down there and they did the, I don't want to call it exploratory visit, but responding on behalf of the canonical church. So I remember that, and they said, wow, this is amazing. All these people, you know. And then tell us a little bit about the seminary that's been planted. Is it one or two seminaries now?
One seminary, but they started in one location. There's a village called Aguacate, which means avocado, by the way. And they started, there was a church there before they connected with Orthodoxy. And next to it, they built, first they built the first story, which had some classrooms. And then they built a second story, which had a clinic. And then they added a third story, which has a little apartment in it. And so that's where the seminary started about 6 years ago. The seminary had its first class. It's the St. Andrew Orthodox Seminary. And we had some classes there. The way things are now, young men come and they join this community, this seminary, and we call them seminarians, but they have to do a lot of tasks. They have to cook, they have to do errands, all kinds of things. And they go with Father Evangelios and with myself sometimes to visit communities to serve the divine liturgy. So there are a lot of interruptions. So we have a seminary and it has some classes, but the classes are not regular yet. It's more sporadic. So it's growing into being a seminary. But more recently, Father Evangelios, who's the priest in charge, decided that we need to move from this village of Aguacate to another place called Talmiche. It's a village overlooking the city of Huehuetenango because the location is more convenient, more central for reaching parishes. Some of the parishes are down on the coast by the Pacific Ocean. Many of them are in northwestern part of Guatemala. So this is a more central location. It's easier to go out from there and minister these parishes. Plus, they're building a vast school. It's big school.
How many Orthodox Christians did you say are there
in all of Guatemala?
Yeah, of this group.
I don't know the total number. I don't really know the parishes. There are many communities I've never been to, but there are many, many thousands. 20,000, 30,000. I don't know.
I heard it was tens of thousands. It was 120 communities.
Right.
That's a lot of communities.
Some of the communities are hub communities. They're bigger ones that people come from. When Father will go there, people come from the smaller communities and go to the hub community for divine liturgy. But we also visit the smaller ones.
And so how is one ordained there if there's not a seminary?
Well,
and how many priests are there? I know some of these answers, but I think nobody else does.
Yeah. Well, they have the St. Andres Seminary, like I said, but that has moved to, I think it's pretty much considered to have moved to Talmiche where we are now, but they also have something new at Talmiche. It's called the St. Peter and Paul Apostolic Center for Catechist Formation. It's the idea of the school is to train people to the catechist. Now, one thing that's really big about the Church of Guatemala is about every 2 months, one or two people from each of these communities comes together and they have 2 days of instruction. They come usually on Friday, all day Friday, and Friday evening they have instruction. Saturday morning we have a divine liturgy and they have more instruction. Then about noon they go home. They go back to their communities and they teach the people the things they've learned. And this is a very important way for the education and deepening of knowledge about Orthodoxy to be spread to the people back in the communities. And you had asked me a question. Now I got off the topic.
Oh, you did good. I said, how do we mint a priest down there? One of the things we want in the Orthodox Church is indigenous clergy. See, that's what you did in Alaska. In Alaska, like to be a priest in, if I'm going to just take a little digression for a second, or sure. Kind of, so to be a priest in the United States, there's certain expectation of the clergy. You have to be academically skilled, I guess. Be a good communicator and academically skilled. Thus, St. Vladimir's, St. Holy Cross, and St. Tikhon's, and I guess Carpatho Russians, you do a lot of academics. Now at St. Herman's, there's a lot of issues with addictions there. So part of your seminary curriculum and St. Vladimir's, I mean, in St. Herman's, whether you become a priest or not, you go and you learn about addictions and how to do addiction counseling, or how to get people into the pipeline, how to recognize addiction, how to intervene or do intervention, things like that. Because a lot of villages up there are, they don't even allow alcohol in because addictions are so bad, okay? So it's always to what's local. And there you don't want somebody from the lower 48 becoming a priest in an indigenous village when it's better to have a local person be an indigenous clergyman there, because he understands the culture and he can connect with the culture. So that's the reason why I asked about Guatemala. So in fact, in Africa, in Uganda, Kenya. There's a seminary that OCMC is sponsoring and supporting everything else, so that indigenous clergy can be trained and be better trained than just, and of course a bishop can ordain somebody without a seminary degree, but you want to make somebody good.
So Father had asked, how does somebody become a deacon and so on? I mentioned we have the St. Andrew's Seminary and it moved. And we have to have the classes sporadically because they are building this huge building. The boys have to cook for those voluntary construction workers. They have to do errands to go get building materials. So when they're able to, they have a class. But some of these boys, these seminarians, have been there for 6 years or even longer. They've been there for 10 years. And gradually they have absorbed a certain amount of information. And the longer they're there, they learn more and more about the faith. And so two of these men, even though they don't have a seminary degree from somewhere, that it was felt that they have advanced enough to be ordained, and they were made deacons just a few in the last few months. One of them was Antonio. He is now Deacon Elias, and the other was Sebastian. He also studied in Greece for about 3 years, 2 years or 3 years, and he's been ordained. He's Deacon Andres now. So we have these, and they are very likely they're going to become priests in a few months, by the grace of God, maybe after half a year or so. So there will be two more priests.
And, how many total priests are there now?
Well, right now there's about five.
Five priests for all those people. Think about those numbers. What workers?
It's worse than that, because one of those priests is responsible for about 70 communities.
Wow, one priest for 70 churches. Wow.
So...
But, that's the church is exploding and you do your best with what you got.
Yeah.
And we need to mint, we need priests down there. So the OCMC has been supportive in building the seminary there. Yeah. And you taught there for a while. And
a little bit down there. I think I have to say that Jesse Brando is another missionary.
Jesse,
he taught more. And Father Thomas, here's a picture of Father Thomas. Who was just there until
you can probably put it right on the camera and everybody can see it online and they can see it.
He was there until very recently. Now he has two little babies, and it was very, very difficult for his presbytera with the two babies to be there without her mother there and so on. So they have moved back to the States and they have a parish in Virginia now. But he taught for several years. Well, I got off topic there.
You're good.
what were we talking about before? How do they become a priest? Yeah. So they do have some classes. Hopefully, with the passage of time, they will be able to have classes more regularly. And more of the people will learn more, and we will get more priests. And not only priests, but catechists. That's very important, catechists. Because the archbishop, he's in Mexico City. He had a plan. He wants the Guatemalan people, because he considers them very pious. He wanted them to go and evangelize all of his diocese, which is about 23 countries.
Wow.
I don't know how far we'll get with that or how long it'll take, but...
In God's time.
That's the plan. That's the plan.
So another aspect of missions in Guatemala is medical missions. And elsewhere, the Orthodox Church, we do medical missions. Yeah. Now, my good friend, Father, I preached many years ago at St. Justin's in my enthusiasm and love for missions, that it should be that the sun never goes down on the ministries of St. Justin Martyr, meaning that we would help support international missions work. And we talk about, there's two words that are often conflated in the American Orthodox mind, is evangelism and missions. Missions is missio, it's sent. So medical missions, while you're doing it, you share the gospel by just loving and serving the people. But people need medicine. Father Joseph Cicerino, who lives in Tampa, his parish, do you know the story? His parish, he went on a mission trip to Uganda with OCMC, Northern Uganda, and saw how sick the people were and how much they needed medical help. So he came back to the States, raised the money, got the bishop, then it was Bishop Jonah of Kampala, got his blessing, raised money, went over there, brought the money, hired a contractor, and they built the building. Then he came back and he went back from where they've been doing this over and over and over again. So now there's this wonderful medical clinic in northern Uganda where babies are born. Their original ambulance was a motorcycle. It said ambulance on it. They would go get the person, sick person, you had to hold on, and they would bring them. Now they got a vehicle. Okay. But so now at OCMC, we have medical teams that go regularly to Guatemala. We have how many clinics there?
There's the one well-established clinic at Aguacate. I heard that they also started another clinic in another place. I don't know how that's going.
Yeah, I just know we talked about it in our meeting this past week.
But they have clinics that where teams of medical teams from America go down there for about a week, and that happens once or twice a year.
And it probably should happen more, as much as they can do it. And I'm very grateful, Father John Jacobs, he organized it. One of the things they're doing is just collecting eyeglasses. I was in Haiti one time, and this lady, she came to me. She was sitting there reading her Bible on the front of our church. She wasn't Orthodox or anything, but just, people are very poor. Sitting there, and she pointed to her glasses. I couldn't understand. I think they speak Creole. Mm-hmm. And she goes, she's reading her Bible with one eye because her glasses didn't have another. And what happens is the Lions Clubs, if they collect all these glasses, they send it down and people just go and they see which ones work. And now OCMC is going to start doing that for down
there. They do have a machine that helps.
The machine
measures the eyes and tells you this one, which glasses to get, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, and think about how easy we have it. Or we go to a doctor, we get a blood test, we find out we have something wrong with us. Right now, just a few minutes ago, we prayed for Mary Black. Most of you guys, Mary, some of us know Mary. Mary, her mother's buried in a cemetery. Mary, mother died of stomach cancer almost 20 years ago when Mary was a little girl. And Mary learned that the kind of cancer her mother had was caused by a certain gene. Somehow they connected it. So they took the genetic test and Mary found out she has that gene. So she's having her stomach removed. She told me I could speak about it. Her stomach removed Monday. And
it's so sad, but it's saving her life.
It's saving her life. And she told me the doctor said 90% of stomach he takes out at this point, if people with this gene are ready or stage one. Okay. So, and her mother, of course, wasn't caught, but only in America could that have been caught. Bishop Jonah of Kampala, you don't go get blood tests in Uganda. Just one day he's got prostate cancer. That's it. No preventative. I myself, I had the blood test and I went through everything and I'm fine right now. You know, thanks be to God, because of modern medicine, I wouldn't have lived. You know, so we're very blessed here. And we have to take our blessings to other people, you know, in a very real way. Now, not every one of us can be a priest, but all of us can go and serve on a mission team. This doesn't mean that we have to go be preachers and teachers. I mean, we have different kinds of teams. We have teams, teaching teams. I did a team to Alaska. Were you there when I was there? Maybe not.
Maybe. When was it?
I've been there quite a few times, but Kodiak was in 2003, 2004.
That was before me.
Okay.
But if you've been there a whole bunch of times, I probably saw you there many times.
No, only that last time I was in Kodiak. In fact, Father John Creter established that parish, that modest, you know, Father John Joseph Creter. He was my parish priest as a kid. Small Orthodox world.
Where in Connecticut?
Queens, New York. Woodside. Very good man. So anyhow, so we went up there and we did a VBS. We just went up there because the church there could not do a VBS for all the kids. And we did a VBS for all the kids in Kodiak. We've gone to two different villages, one at Kuskokwim and one on the Yukon. The problem up there was they all said, and this was in 2000, late 90s, early 2000, they just got porn up there, meaning they just got satellite TV. And the big dishes are, back then they were 6 foot tall dishes. And they, you know how our satellite dishes point in the air? They point flat across the horizon because the satellites fly over middle America. And so they got introduced to this, and it was causing so much problem amongst the youth. And then they were introduced to alcohol and drugs and all, you know, that's on our media, that they were, so also they got thrown into this. And so part of our VBS, our teams up there, was to teach the teens about, well, to talk to them about sex and all these kind of stuff and the amount of abuse and alcohol, but to go up there and just love on them and encourage them and do that. And then the same thing, a very similar story to Guatemala, Father. In fact, there's, see that car up there on that picture? So we, St. Justin's did mission work in Mexico. We helped, we started doing VBSs in San Esteban and all the, it's not Mayan, it's Aztec or related to the Aztecs. We have 13 Orthodox churches up there, 12 in these villages. And we got up there and we did VBSs and the people come together and for the kids, because they don't have enough priests to go. We have one priest for 12 parishes, 13 parishes. And that's what that truck is all the way up there. And because the roads are so rough, it has Kevlar tires. Okay. And we bought that four-wheel drive so he can go around and visit the different churches on a regular basis. And then his life was threatened because they thought he had money because he had this fancy new truck given to him by the church. And he had to go into hiding for a while because his life was threatened. So I stayed at that priest's house one day. How do I describe the house? Do you ever see Gilligan's Island? Mm-hmm. Gilligan's Island. The bathroom is just take your toilet at home, take it out of the wall, take off the seat, take off the tank, you don't need a tank, and just put it over a hole, okay? And have a 5 gallon bucket. And don't worry about having a door because everyone comes and talks to you. You see, culturally, that's what it is. So, I mean, I would be getting ready in the morning and Father, I would go to Father Antonio. Hey, Father Ted, how you doing today? Fine, how are you doing? Because culturally, it's just that way. And you go, their culture's not worse than ours or better than ours. We're just different. You take a shower, you have a 5 gallon bucket, put your hand in it, and you put it over your head. Good thing I don't need too much soap. Okay. And you shower every few days, you don't shower every day there. You know, we're spoiled here. Okay. And same thing with your clothes and everything else, because it's hard to clean your clothes and, you know. You take camp soap and all this kind of stuff. And it was a big deal. It was really hot. So because I'm a priest, I didn't, but everybody else goes, jumps in. There's a common shower place where everyone just jumps in the water water comes off the mountain, it's freezing cold. But I wouldn't do that because it's like below the dignity of a priest to go do that. You don't get undressed. It's just the way Orthodox priests are. It's just our tradition. So many, but to go there and the people were just so joyed to hear the gospel and everything else preached to them. So we reached our 7:42 time. So I want to open it up to questions if anybody online has questions.
I just want to show two pictures.
Absolutely.
These are the two deacons who are just ordained. I think you see how happy they are. This is Father Elias. Father Elias. He drives us a lot when we go around visiting communities in a van. He drives the van many times. And the other one here is this is Deacon, newly ordained Deacon Andres. And it's coming through kind of blue, but he's very, very happy on that day. It was a joyful day, two joyful days. So, okay.
So anybody have questions or anything of Father Juno?
Could we describe the church as being somewhat reactionary when deciding where and when we go to certain countries for either missions or evangelizing?
I guess the Holy Spirit is guiding all of that. You know, just like with the book of Acts, where it was St. Paul or St. Peter, somebody wanted to go to a certain place and the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him go there.
Paul,
okay. So I guess God arranges things in his own time, when he allows it, it happens. But he did give us the command, go therefore to all nations, baptizing, making disciples of all nations. So we have that command. So it's never wrong to do it. If God doesn't want it to happen, I guess he'll prevent it. Like a few years ago when I wanted to go to Brazil and I couldn't go there at that time, I guess that wasn't the time, you know? So I guess just God is guiding the whole thing.
So I guess that's a perfect answer. I would just add that sometimes it appears that way, reactionary, but I don't think it is. I think it's again.
And I don't mean reactionary necessarily in the negative sense, but it's more, when I say reactionary, what I mean is more of like, see there's a need, or see like there's, you know, mass conversion, like there what is in Guatemala. And then, so then, you know, there's resources or whatever sitting down there in that sense.
The truth is, if we had twice as many priests in the OCA, everyone would have a job just about, because if not, they would go to Guatemala or someplace else. We would have, there's just no doubt. There's just so much. Even in this deanery right now, we can use more clergy because there's so many people. And we need a priest for Valdosta. We need a priest for, well, we have a priest coming for Gainesville. There are priests whose health is not good. We need to replace it. We're always needing clergy. We've got a new wonderful priest in Kissimmee, but there's always. One of the things, first I want to do this while people are online. St. Justin Martyr has a missions fund, and this is for you from St. Justin Martyr. Torture missions fund. So
thank you.
I know you didn't know it was coming. You weren't looking for anything else, but
thank you.
We did that.
The whole parish we'll take a look at it.
So it's from.
It's a huge gift, $750.
Well, it's from St. Justin's.
Thank you, and thank you to all the parish for your love and for your support of this work.
My
work and the work of OCMC.
Yeah.
A little tiny bit of it goes to OCMC. The rest will go into the fund to support me. Down there in Brazil.
That's exactly right.
Thank you so much. God bless you all for your kindness and generosity.
Yeah. Yeah. Question.
Dang it! I had that.
Oh, it's okay. We're good. So I'm gonna. Anybody online doesn't have any questions? Anybody have a question online for Dini or Matthew or maybe Bonnie's there or David? If not, I'm going to take and let you all go and thank you for being here tonight and God be with you.
Thank you, Father.
Just want to say thank you. Thank you for sharing your mission, Father. That was really beautiful. And I wish you Godspeed as you go to your next mission.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's been a great inspiration to be here, to come back and visit parishes here back in the States. It's a great inspiration. It's been a great inspiration already. And being here and your little mission.
This is
the church now.
On Sundays, there's no room in that building. There's no room in here. We're building, we're adding. Today, because of all the traffic woes in the neighborhood, I think that's...
Well, it's just like, isn't it, right? Just like in the book of Acts, that... people that these communities start out as a mission that somebody else planted, and then they are sending out missionary. So you're sending me out. So yeah.
Well, we're not. Thank you. St. Irma sent you out to OCA, but we'd like to support missions. A lot of people in our parish have done missions. We send a missions team almost every year. COVID messed that up. We used to have that wall. We put coffee cups up there now, but we used to have how many, like 25 different pictures of mission teams, different mission teams we put up there. And the wall's supposed to be rebuilt one day.
I love all those coffee cups. That's because you have so many people here on Sunday?
Well, no, that's because we're trying to be good stewards with God's environment and not use paper cups anymore. So now, it's a full parish. It's a good sized parish. And I'm wore out trying to keep up with everything, but God is good. It's merciful. And now it's a great parish. And we have planted at St. Justin's two other churches. We planted really three. We planted St. Annunciation Russian Orthodox Church here in Jacksonville. They have about 100 people on a members. And then we're actively planted the church in Gainesville, where our deacon goes down every weekend now. And he serves down there. And we have, I think, a total of about 30 to 50 members and about 20 to 30 every Sunday there. And we have a priest there. He just hasn't arrived yet. He arrives in the new year. And I think I just found a priest to fill in part-time, too, to help him out there some, so we can get our deacon back here a little bit.
Wow.
So
wonderful.
Yeah. And then we plan for serving church.
Father is a missionary, just like me. I mean, they say I'm a missionary.
And let me just say this. I have the utmost respect because going out in the field, being in difficult environments, you know, I respect that. I know at least one missionary who it was too hard for them in Guatemala to came back. They just couldn't cut it.
I just mentioned Father Thomas. He had to come back because of the family, the babies and all, but they were there for a while.
This is a few years ago.
And all those people were there for a while, and they did it for a while. It's hard to do it all your life.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
I'm going to go to an easier place now because it's somewhat rough, well, a little bit roughing it in Guatemala, but in Brazil, it's going to be a city in Brazil. It's going to be easier that way. You know, there'll be other challenges, I'm sure.
Yeah.
More like the ones you have.
Yeah. Traffic on the roads when I come to church. Christ is risen, everybody.
Please pray for me.
Pray for us. Goodbye, everybody. So big weekend coming up. We're going to acknowledge all our, and please pray for Mary. Everyone, please pray for her. Also, Andrew and what's his wife's name? They just had their baby. Emily. Andrew and Emily just had their baby, Mia. I'll be going up there. I didn't go today because of all the traffic on the highway. So, so tomorrow I'm going to go there just after the traffic in the mornings. The rush hour is gone, and I'll go see them and say the prayers for the new baby. And then Kelsey's due one more week. So keep all those people in your prayers. Okay. Good night, everybody. Christ is risen.
Good night, Father.
Good night.
Good night.